Well, hello everyone, and greetings in the precious name of my Lord and my Savior, Jesus Christ. This is your radio evangelist, Minor Hawk, coming into your homes, institutions, and automobiles with another Christ-honoring gospel broadcast called The Voice of the Gospel. And I thank God for this privilege and opportunity I have of telling forth a wonderful story of redeeming love, how that Christ Jesus came into the world to seek and to save that which was lost, how he died on the old rugged cross, how he was buried, and how he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. And friends, today I thank God for the living Savior at the right hand of the living God. Now friends, today I would like to offer 100 free, absolutely free, gospel tracts to anyone who would care to write for them. You send me your name and address in a card or letter, and simply ask for the free offer of 100 assorted gospel tracts. Now these are basic and fundamental gospel tracts, and I'm sure the Holy Spirit of God could use any one of them to point any sinner on the face of the earth today to the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior and Lord. Well friends, you can have these absolutely free and without obligation, as well as being postpaid, sent directly to your home. You simply send me your name and address in a card or in a letter, and you address that card or letter to the Voice of the Gospel, Post Office Box Number 6, McKeesport, Pennsylvania, and that zip code is 15134. Now let's listen to what I believe is perhaps the best-known hymn ever written by mortal man. It's the well-known favorite, The Old Rugged Cross. Friends, I thank God today for the old rugged cross. I know there are a lot of people today that don't like to hear the truth of God's Word. They don't like to hear about the blood and the death of Christ at the old rugged cross. I recall what Paul told the assembly in Corinth in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 18. Here's what he says. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us who are saved, it is the power of God. And I thank God it's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. Let us ask God's blessing on the broadcast. Our gracious God and our Father in heaven, we bow in thy presence today to thank thee again for thy beloved Son, and we thank thee for the death of the cross. We thank thee for the shedding of his precious blood, without which there can be no remission for sin. And Father, we pray thy blessing upon thy word today. Wherever Christ is being preached, we pray thy blessing upon the word, and may souls be reached and saved to the honor and glory of the one who sits at thy right hand, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We ask it in his name. Amen. Now before getting into the message today, let's listen to another lovely hymn, and it's entitled, Oh, What a Wonderful Savior.
A friend who abides in my heart. Oh, what a wonderful Savior. I cannot live from his presence apart. Oh, what a wonderful Savior. Oh, what a wonderful Savior is he. That he should love me. Someday his glorious face I shall see. Oh, what a wonderful Savior! He will the vilest of sinners forgive. Wonderful Savior. No heart so dead but his touch can make live. Oh, what a wonderful Savior. Oh, what a wonderful Savior is he. Wonder of wonders that he should love me. Someday his glorious face I shall see. Oh, what a wonderful
friends, those of you who have your Bibles handy, I'll be using as my text for today a verse of Scripture as we find it in the Old Testament prophecy of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 55 and verse 1. Isaiah 55 verse 1. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. Yea, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. And the Lord will add his blessing to the reading of his word. Well, friends, today I've read to you a verse of Scripture which I've used as a text in past messages, but I'm not going to preach on this verse today apart from bringing to your attention the first word. And the first word in Isaiah 55 and verse 1 is ho. H-O, ho. And this word ho comes from the Hebrew word hoy, and it is only found twice in the entire Word of God, and in both of these instances, it means to give a warning. Yes, the word ho is used by God to give a warning. You know, there are a lot of people today who have accused me of trying to scare people into salvation. But listen, friend, I'm not trying to scare anyone into anything. I'm simply warning you to flee from the wrath of God to come. The word scare denotes something that is non-existent, like a boogeyman or a ghost. But when I preach about the flames of hell and the great white throne judgment, I'm preaching the word of God. And I'm simply warning you that if you reject the love of God, then you're definitely inviting the judgment of God. Over in the prophecy of Ezekiel chapter 33 and verse 7 we read, God says, warn them from me. Warn them from me. Now the next thing I want you to notice about this word ho is the fact that it is always used as a warning to those who are at a distance. In other words, you'd never think of shouting ho to someone standing next to you now, would you? Of course not. You would only shout ho to those who are far away and you're trying to get their attention. Well, sinner friend, do you realize today that you're at a distance from God? Well, you are. Over in Isaiah chapter 59 and verse 2, we read that your sins and iniquities have separated you from God. Yes, you're separated from God by sin. And friend, until your sins are washed away by your faith in the blood of God's Son, Jesus Christ, those sins will separate you from God throughout the countless ages of all eternity. Now today I want to bring before you some of the instances that we find in the Bible where God gave a warning before he came forth with his terrible wrath. And remember this, sinner friend, God's wrath has never become a reality until his love and mercy and grace were rejected. No, holiness and love are the basic characteristics of God. But because he is holy, he must punish sin. So when his love is offered to take away sin in the person of his Son Jesus Christ, and sinners reject it, then God pours out his wrath because he can in no wise allow sin to go unpunished. Well, friends, the first time in the Bible where we read where God gave a warning, or you might say, said ho, was back in Genesis chapter 2 and verse 17. There he told our first parents, Adam and Eve, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Well, I'm sure you know what happened. Satan, or the devil, tempted Eve, and she partook of the forbidden fruit. And then Eve, in turn, gave the fruit to Adam, and he ate of it too. And friends, from that day until now, there has been sin in the world. And what's more, sin is reproducing itself at such a fantastic rate, and in such a grossly diabolical manner, that this old world of ours is quickly ripening for the judgment of God. Yes, sin, just like leprosy or cancer, is eating away the moral fiber upon which this country was founded. And today, every phase of our living, whether it is social, economic, or religious, is reeking with sin and is bringing a stench to the nostrils of a holy God. And friend, it all began away back in the Garden of Eden, when Adam and Eve failed to heed the warning by God their Creator. And as a result of sin and this disobedience, our rebellious and sinful nature, which we have today, can be attributed to the fact that we have inherited this sin and rebellious nature from Adam and Eve. And we too, if we're unsaved, are separated from God. Friends, we read in Romans 5 and 12 that wherefore as by one man, meaning Adam, sin entered into the world and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Yes, God warned them not to eat of the forbidden fruit, but Adam and Eve disobeyed God, and this sin, or disobedience to God's word, is the cause of all the sorrow, all the sickness, all the death, all the separation, tears, loneliness, and fear we have in the world today. Now friends, over in Genesis chapter 6, we read again of God giving a warning before he came forth in wrath. There you recall, God saw that the wickedness of man was great upon the earth, and God said that he would destroy man from off the face of the earth. But friend, before God destroyed man from off the earth, he ordained a man named Noah to preach for 120 years. And to warn the people who feared God to flee his wrath by entering the ark of safety. Sinner friend, in a sense, God, through Noah, was saying, ho. He was warning them. He told them that they could escape the floodwaters by simply accepting the mercy of God expressed in the ark. Yes, all they had to do was to obey the word of God and to enter the ark of safety. But you know what happened? Only 8 souls believed that God meant what he said. And these 8 souls were saved because they had a reverential fear of God. In Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 7 we read, by faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his house or his family. Yes, Noah was warned of God, and thank God he heeded God's warning. Because if he hadn't, then everyone would have drowned and mankind would have ceased to exist. Sinner friend, God is warning you today. He says, ho. He wants you to flee from the wrath to come. He wants you to go to the ark of safety, the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, he wants you to trust his Son as your own and personal Savior. Now then, if we were to go over to Genesis chapter 18, we would read again where God gives a warning before he brought down his judgment. Here God tells Abraham that if he can find 50 righteous cities in the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah, he would spare the city. But Abraham couldn't find 50, nor 45, nor 40, nor 30, nor 20, and not even 10 righteous people in these cities of sin. So what does God do? Well, being a God of love and mercy, he said, ho. Yes, he gave a warning. He sent 2 angels down from heaven to warn Lot, his wife, and his 2 daughters to flee from the doomed cities. And they told Lot's family not to look back. But what happened? Well, even though they were faithfully warned by God, Lot's wife looked back, and she was immediately turned into a pillar of salt. Friends, as God warns you today, are you going to rebel against his word? Are you going to resist the Holy Spirit of God? Sinner friend, listen. God is offering you today the only escape from his terrible wrath and judgment. He's offering you the gift of love. He's offering you eternal salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ, his Son. Yes, God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. In 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 4, we read that God would have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. Friend, God has made it possible for you to hear this program today so that you could hear his warning, ho, ho. And who knows, perhaps this is the last time God will warn you of coming wrath and judgment. Now over in the book of Acts, we read of an incident where the Holy Spirit of God was bringing conviction of sin to a man called Governor Felix. And the governor was so upset by the preaching of the Apostle Paul that he actually trembled. My, oh my, would that some of you listening in today would tremble under the conviction of the Holy Spirit of God. Yes, would that you too were so ashamed of your sinful condition before God that you trembled at the thought of meeting God in all your sin. Well, friends, God through the Apostle Paul was saying ho to Governor Felix. But what does Governor Felix say? Well, in Acts chapter 24 and verse 25, he told the Apostle Paul, go thy way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I will call for thee. Oh, how sad these words are. To think of being favored by having the Holy Spirit of God convict you of your sin, righteousness, and judgment to come, and then to rebuff God's Holy Spirit and say, don't bother me now. When I have a more convenient time, then I'll call for thee. Well, friends, we never read where Governor Felix ever had a more convenient season. No, God has left this incident on record to show us that even though a person may be under such deep conviction that they actually trembled, yet the hardness of the human heart rebelled against the love and mercy and grace of God. In Genesis 6 and verse 3, we read where God says, my spirit shall not always strive with man. Friend, have you ever experienced the conviction of the Holy Spirit of God? Have you ever realized that it was your sins that nailed the Lord Jesus Christ to the old rugged cross? Well, friend, I trust that even now, the still small voice of the Holy Spirit may be showing you your lost and ruined condition in God's sight. And then I trust you'll look by faith to Calvary's cross and there see the Lamb of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, dying in your guilty room and in your stead. Yes, shedding His precious blood so that you could be saved or born again. Sinner friend, don't be like Governor Felix. Don't trifle with the salvation of God. This may very well be the last time you'll ever hear the gospel. At this time tomorrow, your soul could be down in the flames of hell. And friend, you'd remember me warning you to flee from the wrath of God. You'd remember how the Holy Spirit of God was urging you to trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. Yes, you'd remember how you, like Governor Felix, said, "Go thy way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I will call for thee." Sinner friend, the Word of God reveals to us the great heart of God's love in the death of His Son, Jesus Christ. And friend, if you can reject such love and grace that is being offered to you today, then you'll have no one to blame but yourself. But when, my friend, you drop into the flames of torment, you'll remember God warning you to flee from the wrath to come. No, friend, God has done all that He can. The Lord Jesus Christ has done all that He can. The Holy Spirit of God has done all that He can. And friend, I've done all that I can in bringing to you the message of salvation through faith in the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son. Now, whether you realize it or not, the decision is entirely up to you. I read in Deuteronomy chapter 30 and verse 19 where God says, "I call heaven and earth to record this day against you. I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life, that both thou and thy seed or offspring may live." Friend, you're just like the man called King Agrippa. In Acts chapter 26, we read of a man called King Agrippa who heard God speak to him and say, "Ho," in warning. He too listened to the gospel of God's grace as preached to him by the Apostle Paul. And after hearing the story of redeeming love, what did he say? Well, in Acts 26 and verse 28, he declared, "Almost, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian." Friend, those are sad words. What a solemn statement to make. "Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian." Sinner friend, is that going to be your answer today? Are you going to be almost saved? Are you going to resist the pleadings of the Holy Spirit of God? Are you going to go on in your sin and trifle with the grace of God? Well, if you do, God says in John 3 and verse 36, "He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. He that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him." Again in Job 36 and verse 18, God declares, "Because there is wrath, beware, lest he take thee away with his stroke, then a great ransom cannot deliver thee." Sinner friend, the Word of God says that we're all sinners, and we have to be saved or born again by accepting His Son as our Savior. Would you like to be saved or born again today? Well, friend, if you do, then listen to God's warning, "Ho, ho." Yes, listen to those wonderful words by the Lord Jesus Christ in that most memorable of all verses, John 3 and verse 16. "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Friend, right now, whoever you are and wherever you may be, acknowledge before a holy God that you're a sinner in need of a Savior. Acknowledge you can't do a thing to save your own soul, and you can't. And then in simple childlike faith, just accept by faith alone the Lord Jesus Christ as your own and personal Savior. Yes, believe with all your heart in Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord. And friend, if you'll do that right now, according to God who cannot lie, you'll be saved for time. And thank God, you'll be saved for all eternity. And remember, my friend, this is for eternity. Yes, this is for eternity. Let us pray. Our gracious God and our Father in heaven, we bow in thy presence at the close of another gospel message, and we thank thee for the privilege we've had of exalting thy Son as the only Savior of sinful men and women, boys and girls. Lord, we thank thee for extending the day of grace so that others might come to know him whom to know is life eternal. And we pray, our God, that even now out in Radio Land, there are those who are placing their faith and trust in thy beloved Son. May it be so for his name's sake. Amen. Now, friends, this concludes another Voice of the Gospel broadcast. And as I mentioned at the beginning of the program, if you'd like to have a group of 100 assorted gospel tracts, I'll be glad to send them to you absolutely free and postpaid. You write to me, the Voice of the Gospel, and my address is Post Office Box Number 6, McKeesport, Pennsylvania, and the zip code is 15134. That address again, the Voice of the Gospel, Post Office Box Number 6, McKeesport, Pennsylvania, 15134. I'll send these tracts out to you by postpaid and absolutely free. Friend, get these tracts today if you're concerned about your soul or who would like to give someone who is unsaved a good assortment of gospel tracts. Now, friends, this concludes another Voice of the Gospel broadcast. Until next time, this is your Voice of the Gospel speaker, Minor Hawk, wishing you and yours God's very richest blessing, which is salvation through faith in the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Good day.